This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
I have had the pleasure of listening to our next guest talk to Coy at least once a month, and I'm delighted to be here this afternoon to talk to Quentin Kidd, chair of the Department of Government and Politics at Christopher Newport University. Good afternoon, Professor.
Well, good afternoon. Sorry to hear Coy's not feeling well.
Yes, indeed.
Actually, I think it's all an excuse. I mean, crud? I've never heard of crud.
It's called kid crud. Pardon the expression. I'm delighted to talk to you. I listen to you all the time when you're on with Coy. But let's review yesterday's election. What part of that did you predict?
Well, I mean, I do polling, and I did some polling about 3 weeks ago that showed Cree Deeds simply not connecting with women, not connecting with independents, despite the Bob McDonnell master's thesis issue. And in fact, the exit polling from yesterday's election showed that he ultimately didn't connect with women and ultimately didn't connect with independents. There's something called the gender gap in American electoral politics, which shows that women vote by 8-10% for Democratic candidates over Republican candidates, and it's been around for quite a while, and it's existed in Virginia. Bob McDonnell was not only able to close the gender gap, there was a slight gender gap in McDonnell's favor yesterday. 52% of the voters were female, 48% were male, and Bob McDonnell had 54% of female voters. And so despite the master's thesis controversy that suggested McDonnell had sort of archaic views about the role of women in society, Cree Deeds wasn't able to actually capture a majority of women. There was an 8% gender gap in McDonnell's favor yesterday.
So what was it about Cree's campaign that seemed to offend women or cause them not to vote for him?
Yeah, I don't think it was that he offended women. I think it was that he didn't give women a reason to vote for him. Campaigns are about two things. Campaigns are about telling voters why they should vote for you and why they shouldn't vote for your opponent. And Cree Deeds tried to do an effective job saying why people shouldn't vote for Bob McDonnell, and the master's thesis was a part of that. But he never followed it up by saying to them why they should vote for him. And I think that was his big weakness. If you go back to late August, early September, when the master's thesis story first broke, a lot of the polling showed that moderates and women were hesitating on McDonnell. They were sort of sitting back and saying, well, wait a minute, if this guy has these views, maybe we don't want to support him. But they were waiting then for Cree Deeds to say, and here's what I'll offer you instead. Here's what I'll do instead. And Deeds never did that. To this day, I can't tell you what Deeds' campaign was about. I can tell you McDonnell's campaign was about the jobs governor. I can't say the same thing about Cree Deeds.
We're talking to Quentin Kidd, chair of the Department of Politics at Christopher Newport University. That was the complaint within the party, not only the Democratic Party, but that there was never a clear definition of what would happen in a Deeds administration, and it was elect me and I'll tell you what we're going to do. I mean, that's the feeling people got, whether that was right or not.
Yeah, and message comes from the top. I know that candidates have legions of advisors around them, and they have people doing all this work for them. But in the end, the message comes from the top. The candidate has to say, "This is what I'm about," and the support staff and all of the supporters have to work around him to project that message. So I think in the end, the problem was with Cree Deeds. I'm not sure Cree Deeds knew what he was really about and knew why he was running. And I go back to a Fairfax County forum several months back when Cree Deeds was asked the question that every candidate who runs for any office, dog catcher on up, ought to be able to answer, which is, why are you running for office and why should people vote for you? And Deeds stumbled around the answer. And initially I just thought, oh, well, that's Cree. You know, I've met him several times, and he sort of has this a way of communicating that isn't like Bob McDonnell's way, and I thought, well, that's just Cree. But in the end, I think, he really didn't know why he was running, or at least he couldn't articulate it, and that became really clear as the campaign moved on.
Now, we got come January, McDonnell will be governor. Is he going to be able to stay in the middle, or is he going to alienate the right end of his party, or is he going to be able to bring them into the fold as more of a centrist?
McDonnell ran the Republican version of Mark Warner's campaign 8 years ago. He ran as a person who focused on the economy, on the efficiency of government, on making sure government helped people rather than being in their way. So it was really the Republican version of Mark Warner. He last night he said that he was going to govern that way. I mean, he sort of he reiterated that as his focus. I imagine that he will try to govern that way. And I can say this: given the kind of budget situation we're looking at, where next year the budget's going to be bleak, but we have federal stimulus money that's going to help us. The year after that, which, by the way, would be the first year of Bob McDonnell's own budget, it looks like a cliff. I mean, if the economy doesn't recover, if state revenues don't recover, we're looking at a budget cliff. And so I can't imagine how Bob McDonnell would govern except in a bipartisan way, because that's the only way that we're going to navigate our way through what is a really bleak economic picture.
Well, some people think that he's not battling the bipartisan thing, that he's battling within his own party, that the rift between the party's center and the party's right could be very upset the whole thing.
It could. I mean, I think that's exactly right. What actually got lost in this campaign was the idea that there was a struggle within the Republican Party. Ever since Jeff Fredericks was kicked out as chair of the Republican Party of Virginia, that kind of division has disappeared, probably because there was energy and momentum around the McDonnell campaign, and there was energy and momentum around sort of everybody could sort of focus their criticism on the president and on the explosive growth in the deficit and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you can focus your attention on something, then maybe you're not going to fight with each other. But I do think that as McDonnell has to govern, as he has to actually take control of things, that fight may actually come back to surface. And it looks to me like McDonnell has taken a position on the moderate side of the fight. And so we'll let's see if he can hold it all together.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We are talking to Quentin Kitt, chair of the Department of Government and Politics at Christopher Newport University. When we get back, we'll see how his AD, his attorney general, and his lieutenant governor will, how they're going to play with both factions of the party and the Democrats. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Jane Foy, and I'm sitting in for a very sick Coy Barefoot. We hope that he gets well soon. Mike Biseglia is with me, and our guest on the long line is Quentin Kidd, the chair of the Department of Government and Politics at Christopher Newport University. Quentin, before we talk about the reelected lieutenant governor, could you just run by me one more time why governor and lieutenant governor don't run as a team, as a ticket in Virginia?
Of independent offices in Virginia, and we don't have a history of party campaigns in Virginia, so you can't register to vote under a party, for example, and it all goes into that. The reason we have off-year elections is because back in the 40s and 50s we tried to distance our own elections from the national elections so they wouldn't be caught up in the national partisanship, and so it's that contrarian streak that is in Virginia that if you listen to any of the analysis last night, a lot of people reference the sort of contrarian streak that's been around in Virginia for hundreds of years, which is sort of the explanation for why we vote against the party that just won the White House the year before. So it's all a part of that. I think what we don't want is partisan tickets, people running on partisan tickets at the top of the ticket, and we don't want people having to register as parties, because we really don't want them to have to. We really are discouraging straight ticket voting, straight party ticket voting, even though parties are important in terms of Virginia politics.
All right. Well, thank you for that explanation. Now, under Governor Kaine, Bill Bowling was sort of kept out of the mainstream. Now he's got a Republican governor to work with and for. He was accused of being absent about 94% of the time at various committee meetings and board meetings. Do you foresee a more active Bill Bowling?
Yeah, I do. And Bill Bowling had suggested it. I was just on another show a few minutes ago that Bill Bowling was on, and he basically said they had already had some discussions about what they were going to be doing as a team. Not only is the answer, yeah, Bob McDonnell and Bill Bowling are from the same party, so they can work together much easier, but I think there's another answer to it, and that is the reason Bob McDonnell didn't have a primary fight to deal with like Creed Deeds did is that he and Bill Bowling had made a deal that McDonnell would run for governor this time, Bowling would run for re-election as lieutenant governor, and then next time Bowling could run for governor because McDonnell can't run to succeed himself. And so Bowling is going to want to be as engaged and involved as he can because he wants to be able to establish himself as a credible gubernatorial candidate as well 4 years from now.
But if he runs for governor 4 years ago, 4 years from now, that is going to dash the plans of Ken Cuccinelli, the new attorney general.
Yeah, that's right. And so I would expect 4 years from now that we would have a pretty competitive 4 years, three years and some odd months from now, we'd have a pretty competitive Republican primary because I don't think Ken Cuccinelli's sights are set low. I think he wants to be the guy living in the governor's mansion at some point.
What is his problem with unions? I mean, we are a right to work state. What are there, two unions in the state?
Ken Cuccinelli's problem?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I don't know if he personally has a problem. I mean, we have many unions in the state. I mean, there are parts of Virginia that are really strongly union. Southwest Virginia in the coal mining country is very strongly union, and there's a populist streak there that they vote. They're pretty much Democratic voters, and it has to do with that populist union orientation. And then down here in the shipping area, there's a lot of unions. I mean, the Newport News Shipyard, which employs about 18,000 people, is heavily unionized, and the shipping industry generally is. So there's a lot of unions, but we're a right-to-work state. And I think what Cuccinelli is doing is he's speaking to a core Republican constituency when he really goes after unions. But what really has gotten Cuccinelli and other Republicans talking about unions in the right-to-work state is some legislation pending in Congress that would essentially, it's called card check legislation, that would essentially undermine right to work laws even as a state had a right to work law. And I think that's what a lot of Republican candidates and office holders have focused on is he may not directly link that his anti-union talk to that card check legislation, but that's really what it's all about.
Is that the legislation that makes joining a union conditional upon employment?
Well, what it does is it says union elections have to be held in public, so they're open elections and not private. So in other words, it would be as if when you went in to vote, you had to stand there and vote in front of people who watched how you voted. Right now, union votes are held in private, just like regular elections are held in private. Card check legislation would essentially change that, and people. People who oppose that say, well, there's going to be undue pressure on people to support unionization, and people who support it say, well, what we're trying to do is balance the undue pressure that employees put on people to vote against unions. And so that's really what Cuccinelli is focusing on when he really talks about the problem of unions.
We're talking to Quentin Kidd, chair of the Department of Government and Politics at Christopher Newport University. We have a couple minutes left, and it seems to me that Ken Cuccinelli sees himself more as the state's top attorney than he does the state's top cop. Like, less emphasis on the criminal element in fighting crime than other types of legislation.
Well, there are people who claim that Cuccinelli's real interests are pursuing his social agenda in the office of Attorney General. We don't know how he'll be as Attorney General yet, but compare what people say with how Bob McDonnell ran the Office of Attorney General. Bob McDonnell really focused on law enforcement and that sort of stuff, even while he defended the state in matters legally that he had to. A lot of people wonder if Ken Cuccinelli is going to focus on the law and order aspect of Attorney General, or whether he's going to shift his attention in other ways. I don't think we know the answer to that yet. I can say this. Both McDonnell and Cuccinelli, Cuccinelli's really socially conservative. He has a long history and record of that. McDonnell has a history and record of being socially conservative, not nearly as much as Cuccinelli. They both ran to the middle, however. They both ran as centrist Republicans. Bob McDonnell, you'd have to corner him to get him to talk about social issues. He just wouldn't do it. Cuccinelli would talk about social issues a little bit, but not a lot. So they ran as centrist candidates. They were elected as centrist Republicans. If they govern differently than that, I think they're going to be in trouble. Virginia is the ultimate bellwether state right now. It's the ultimate swing state. The people who elected the Republicans yesterday are independents.
Right.
It isn't that there's an overwhelming majority of Republicans. Virginia is divided in thirds right now. The independents went for the Republicans yesterday. The independents don't have a partisan allegiance to the Republicans. They just think the Republicans will solve problems better than Democrats right now. If Republicans pursue a social agenda that independents don't like, they'll leave them. And they know that. Republicans know that. And so I don't expect either of three of these guys to pursue a really socially conservative agenda, because I think the Republican Party would probably scream at him because independents would be leaving.
Thank you so much for being with us. Quentin Kidd, Chair of the Department of Government and Politics at Christopher Newport University. And as this plays out, we will certainly listen to you on Charlottesville Live, mostly with Coy Barefoot.
Charlottesville right now. Coy feels better.
He will. Thanks again for being with us.
Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.